This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Did you see I picked up your popcorn?
Hey, nice job.
If I was a billionaire, I wouldn't have done that.
You wouldn't. You'd be too weird. You'd be doing something weird with it, wouldn't you?
I just asked Bob, would you come into work on Monday if you had $1 billion?
What did I say?
You said, yes, because I like this job, but you said there would be certain stipulations.
Yeah. Meaning I'd do what I want when I want.
Yeah.
I'm not reading this. I'm not coming in for this. I'm doing this.
But nobody tells me what to do.
Yeah. Here's the deal. I'll maintain this job, but I don't have a boss anymore. That's how it would be.
I'm the boss of me.
You're no longer the boss of me. $1 billion. I'd like to have that problem.
You'd get weird, Bob. I'm telling you.
It's okay. That's okay. It would be good weird. It'd be entertaining weird. Eric Swanson is going to join us up here in the booth any moment. So looking forward to that conversation. This is the first meeting with the Angels since the brawl that took place on June 26th. And we touched on this earlier in the show in case you guys are just tuning in. Just talking about the rivalry that exists between these two teams, the Angels and the Mariners. And is there more heat now because of that fight, or has it been just such a long gap between that moment and now that maybe that's dissipated a bit? And maybe, like me, your hate of the Astros still reigns supreme, because to me, it's not even close. And I know that, you know, on the heels of this fight, I was very into it. I was very animated and I loved it because I thought, okay, now you got a couple of rivals within the division.
Yeah,
I think it takes some of the steam out of it, only because the Angels are in such a down period right now. They're not contending. They're a losing team. Trout's not with them. He's got a back condition, which hopefully doesn't keep him out or impact his career in a really negative way. Because even though I'm disappointed with how he responded prior to that fight, you know, feeling like Swanson threw up in and trying to send him a message in the bottom of the ninth for some reason.
Dumb.
Really dumb. But I don't dislike Trout. I don't look at him the way I do, you know, the Astros. I was just disappointed.
It makes it easier because every time I see Trout now, all I think about is Adam Ray's impersonation.
Yeah, man, I send a message.
Sounds just like him. He's spot on.
Oh, yeah. I love that he's purposely bad. Yeah. I mean, Trout's not a guy you can imitate. There's just nothing there, really. But
we played the soundbite earlier, and I still really can't really remember what his voice sounds like.
I can't either.
Do you want to hear? Here's cut number two. This is Mike Trout. This is the day before the brawl, but it was after he thought he was being thrown at.
Hey, if you're going to hit me, in the ribs. Don't hit me in the head.
So, you know?
I don't know if that was the intent, but I mean, anything at the head, I mean, you're going to do that.
Was that the discussion at the end of the game in the dugout?
I mean, you guys saw it. Pitching coach went out there to, I don't know what he said, though, but the first two pitches were up and in, so. And you put two and two together. So.
You know what? I hear Adam Ray there. I get where he's coming from there. There's a little bit of...
You're going to hit me. Hit me in the head.
Yeah, just a little bit. I think Adam might have actually nailed that one.
You think so?
He might have. But, yeah, as far as that goes, Brandon, son of Augustafson, was up here from our 710 Sports side. And, you know, he's a writer. And he said, Scott Service said the M's got an up-and-close personal look at the Angels last time and that we will not get that this time. We will go out and play baseball the way it should be. That's it.
Well, unless Phil Nevin decides they want to play it another way, which is what happened the first time. But now we get a chance to speak to the man who was front and center in that whole thing and who's having another tremendous season, part of this Mariners bullpen, which has been on fire. Eric Swanson is with us. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
It's good to have you. Thanks for making the trip up to the booth. Have you ever been up here before?
I haven't. I was just going to say, for the people that can't watch right now, I'm looking at batting practice right now. It's a nice
pretty good view, right?
Different view.
Not bad. Can we get you in front of the mic there just a little, so we can hear you better?
Yep.
There you go. Yeah, it's we just sit here and stare at you guys from here. You don't even realize it, huh?
It's a pretty good view, though.
Hey, we were just talking about, obviously, last time these two teams met, it ended up in fisticuffs. And we just played the Trout soundbite from the night previous to the fight. You were on the hill having a little trouble with the ball up. He's got two cold zones. When they show that heat chart, the only two cold spots on it are up and in and up and away.
Yeah.
As a pitcher, that's where you're supposed to pitch him. You try to mitigate the damage. For some reason, it's the bottom of the ninth. He represents the tying run. You've got two outs, and he thinks you're trying to send a message. Did you just scratch your head going, really? I mean, this is baseball 101, man. This is, if I'm sending a message, it's not going to be with the game on the line. It's going to be your first at bat, maybe your second, maybe even your third, but not with two outs in the bottom of the ninth when we're trying to win.
Yeah, just kind of unfortunate situation, you know, just got away from me a little bit. And unfortunately, not everybody saw it that way. So,
yeah. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, it should have been obvious. I don't want to go any further. We've been grinding over it for weeks now. We're mad at him. And, you know, we like Mike Trout. We really did, but we're
disappointed.
It's like your dad says to you, I'm not mad at you, son. I'm just disappointed. We're kind of disappointed in Mike Trout. But do you think this thing are the fans making maybe a bigger deal out of it than you guys are?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. You know, what happened. Unfortunately, it did. But I think that was the end of it, and it stayed in Anaheim. I don't think anything's gonna come else of it. So
yeah. We talked to Adam Frazier earlier today, and we were trying to get him to lobby Jesse Winker into changing his walk-up song for tonight. Maybe the Rocky theme, or maybe Mama Said Knock You Out by LL Cool J, or just to have some fun with it. But he said, well, I don't know. I think he got all the attention he wanted for that. Of all the guys in that clubhouse, he would be the one that could have some fun with it, couldn't he?
He probably would be the one guy to have some fun with it. But yeah, I think he got plenty of attention from the first go around, so I don't think that's going to be happening.
Hey, how much do pitchers and field position guys, you know, sort of stick together? It's all, you know, you always hear like, oh, the bullpen guys are their own little group, or, and you know, the outfielders and everybody. I mean, is it a pretty tight group as far as this team goes?
Yeah, I would definitely say. So this is my fourth Mariners team I've been on, and I would say this is definitely the tightest knit group all the way around that I've been a part of, which is pretty cool. Being able to come in and, you know, it's not like bullpen guys stick to themselves,
yeah.
Position players stick to themselves, starters stick to themselves. Everybody just kind of intermingles with everybody, and it's a pretty cool group we got.
Do you think it's just coincidence, or do you think there was a positive result from what took place with the fight that it became a bonding moment, galvanizing? You guys go on this 14-game winning streak. Is that just, do you think, we were just due to play better and it just happened? Or did that have was that a positive result of what took place out there?
I mean, I think a little bit of both. You know, obviously something exciting like that happens and can go one way or the other, you know what I mean? Can light a fire under you and get guys going when you're in need for it. And I think that's the route that we took with it for sure. But I also thought that we were kind of in a position too before that series. You know, games weren't going our way for a little bit, and we were starting to put together some better games, and you were starting to see the results. So I think it was just kind of a combination of one, you know, an exciting game happening that kind of got everybody going, and then we were already on our way to start playing some good baseball.
Been kind of hammering the strength of schedule thing because, you know, you guys had a really tough road trip for seven games. And now, and you look at the end of the year, and it's a lot of teams that have lost. Basically, you guys have one of the more favorable schedules. Do you guys even think about that? Because pretty much anybody in Major League Baseball can, it's like the A's, they'll randomly sweep a really good team, it seems like. But do you guys think about it in those terms, or just the next guy, we're doing the same job that we do night in and night out?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, everybody comes to the ballpark every day with kind of the same mentality. It doesn't really matter who we're playing at that point, but, you know, you definitely know when you have a tougher part of the schedule coming up. You know, we just went on a pretty tough road trip. We go to Houston for four, and then we go to New York for three. You know, we're not dumb. Everybody kind of knows when you're going to play big caliber teams. Now it just kind of is how do you go about your business that day? You know, not everybody's going to show up, you know, thinking, oh, man, we got to do something different than what we've been doing. It's been just kind of the same mindset coming to the ballpark every day, whether or not you're at a tougher part of the schedule versus, you know, not as tough. But at the end of the day, every team we're facing is a major league ball club, and
right.
It's not easy to win games in the big leagues. So it doesn't matter who you're facing at that point. You got to come to the ballpark every day ready to go, and that's something that we do a really good job of.
Just as a pitcher, how much do you alter your approach, if at all, based on the ballpark that you're playing in, you're pitching in? Because you got the Crawford boxes up there in Houston, where it just looks like a pop fly as a home run. You've got right field in Yankee Stadium, which looks like a pop fly. Does it change your, all right, in this ballpark, I'm not going to go this pitch on right-handers, I'm not going to go this pitch on left-handers, or are you just, hey, this is what I throw, this is what I do, doesn't matter the ballpark?
Yeah, I'm not really looking at dimensions of ballparks. I'm pitching, you know, to my strengths. Doesn't matter where I'm at. And if somebody gets me in one of those parks with a home run that maybe not would be or wouldn't be one somewhere else, hats off. You know, I feel like you get into some pretty dangerous territory if you start pitching to the ballpark. And I think that's probably what everybody else would probably say too. So
we talked to Seawald, and he told us that, was it Philly that was the worst bullpen area in all of Major League Baseball? He said it was the same as New York, but the security guards there weren't as attentive.
He said
or
they're
something
not good.
Like, yeah, they weren't good, but like, being out there in the pen, you must experience a lot of extracurricular stuff going on out there.
Yeah, for sure. I've never been to Philly. I have heard stories, though, but that's one of the few parks I haven't gone to. I think we have top three best bullpens, at least that I've been to. There's about five parks I haven't gone to yet, but I think we have one of the better ones, just fan interaction. You know, we have people that are lined up all along that fence there, and then we have the... I guess I don't know what that's called. They do a lot of events down there that butts right up to our seats out there. Mm-hmm. So you're having constant fan interaction every night, which is pretty cool. You know, hearing some crazy stuff, seeing some crazy stuff, and it keeps it fun.
I was going to say, I don't know. You probably can't tell us what's the craziest thing you've heard, like especially from the East Coast, right? That's where people, you know, they used to say that, like, the further east you get, the bigger batteries they throw on the field. You know, like, by the time you get to New York, it's a car battery that they're throwing at you. But you notice a difference between West Coast, East Coast?
Yeah, for sure. I probably can't tell you the worst thing I've ever heard. I've heard quite a few of them. But, no, it's just fun. You know what I mean? It's you're able to have interactions with the fans that, you know, guys in the dugout usually aren't. And obviously there's a certain point of the game where you got to kind of turn that stuff off and really start locking into the game as well. But for the first couple of innings, it's usually pretty fun to go down there. You got people yelling at you and all that stuff. So keeps it fun.
Seawald said his favorite thing is somebody just repeatedly going, can I get a ball? 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 He just talked about how annoying that was, whether it's here or anywhere else. Or he's like, I talked to him about being a fan. He's like, yeah, I used to be a fan, but I didn't just sit there and hammer people. Can I get a ball? Can I get a ball?
Yeah,
is that something that's common out there?
That is very common. Every game, doesn't matter where you're at, you're always going to hear that. But, yeah, that's something we talk about all the time, too. And one thing that I've heard a lot over the last couple of years that I had never heard in my entire life is the term, can I get a toss-up?
I haven't heard that either.
I've never heard that, but it's everywhere we go. That is a thing amongst, you know, the kids, the whoever, adults.
That's a ball, right?
Yeah, can I get a ball? But now it's, can I get a toss-up? And I have no idea where that originated from.
Huh.
I had never heard that before, and I'm hearing it every single park we go to now.
I've never heard that till just now.
That sounds really stupid. Just a stupid
just
thing to say.
Just say ball.
Yeah. It's like it's the cool thing to say.
That's probably going to annoy Seawald even more.
Call it a ball.
Oh, he's said that many times. It's like, when did that become a thing?
So Seawald does the thing where he reaches up, right?
He looks like he's
for his sleeves.
Looks like his sleeves.
We're talking to him about Diego Castillo and how he looks like Rodney Dangerfield out there. I don't know if you remember him.
Oh, Diego's touching everything.
Oh, he looks like his uniform doesn't fit. He adjusts the pants. He takes the mitt off, bends that, does the hat. He
so
does the sleeves.
We asked Seawald about that, and he goes, hey, he has his things. I have my things.
Mm-hmm.
What are your things? Do you even know?
I don't know if
you're
really...
You're pretty calm out there. You don't really have anything that stands out.
I'm not super fidgety. I will say that is something that we always point out about Diego is he is literally touching hat, sleeves, you know,
in between every pitch.
We speculated that if he was naked, he would still do that same thing. I don't
probably.
I don't know if he.
Yeah. Ben Murphy's got the twist he does. Yeah. And the looks and yeah.
Well, and I noticed with Luis Castillo, he's got a little thing where he raises his knee at the very end after he sets up.
Yeah. Yeah. Festa has his squat that he does.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
he comes set. Yeah.
That superstition, do you think, or is that something that just? I don't know. It's got to be something that just gets him in the right frame of mind. Like, all right, I feel right now.
Well, I'll let him answer, I promise. But Penn Murphy told us that he goes, how do you get dressed in the morning? And I'm like, I don't remember. I don't know. He goes, right, you just do what you do. I mean, you put on in what order or whatever. And he said that's kind of how it comes about. Does that sound
yeah,
right
sound, that sounds about right. Everybody just kind of has their own thing, whether they incorporated it on purpose or if it just naturally happened over time, and then you're, you know, repetition after repetition after repetition, you're constantly doing the same thing every single game. I'm sure along the way somebody has said something stupid like, well, I'm going to turn my hat a quarter inch to the right every time I get the ball back or something like that, and now yeah. they do that every time.
Then you're stuck with that, right?
Yeah, there's always the guys that have the weird superstitions that they got to do every time, but yeah, I've never thought about that. I don't think I do anything super out of the ordinary.
Yeah, it doesn't seem, nothing stands out, but.
No, do you have any superstitions, though? Like, hey, you went out there and just, you were on fire that night, and I had chicken before the game and I wore these colored undershirt or anything. I'm not changing anything until this fails, or
I don't do anything that's super out of the ordinary. The only thing I can ever
think
of,
you don't have a routine.
I have a routine, but I don't have anything that some guys will put off and say is a routine when it's actually just a silly superstition.
Yeah.
I'd say the weirdest thing I do, and I've done this with everything throughout my entire life, I'll always put my left sock on before my right sock and my left shoe on before my right sock or before my right shoe. I even noticed the other day I was putting my son's shoes on and I started putting the right one on. I was like, no, we're going to go to the left.
I messed that up. Hang on. Let's do the left one.
Oh, no. You're going to pass that on down to your kid. He's going to have
Probably. He's going to have no idea why.
Family tradition.
Yeah.
Tell us about your family. How old are your kids?
So my son is 2.5 and I guess my daughter's got to be like 4 weeks old now.
Wow, congratulations.
I'm trying to think. She was born that Saturday during the Toronto series here.
Awesome. Oh, that's right. Yeah. You were on a leave there. Yeah.
Are you sleeping?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sleeping. My daughter has been great. You know, my wife will wake her up in the middle of the night when she needs to feed, but she's been sleeping through the night, which is good. Knock on wood, but hopefully that continues, but yeah, everything's been good.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Hey, as far as superstitions go, I don't know how often you talk to DePoto or not, but did he ever tell you what his was as a pitcher?
No.
He used to carry a Nolan Ryan baseball card in his jock. Ask him about that.
Whoa.
He'd switch it out every time?
I think it was the same card. I'm like, how did that last? Because I imagine you're sweating, you're bending, you're...
That's disrespectful to Nolan Ryan. I wouldn't want anybody putting my football card in their jock strap.
Yeah,
come on.
Ask him about it.
I wonder if it's laminated.
It'd have to be, wouldn't it? Because that card's not going to last long.
Yeah, you'd think so. That's funny.
Yeah. Ask him about that one. Because we had the same agent. My radio agent was his baseball agent when he was playing, and he told me that. And then I asked Jerry about it and said, can I say that on the air? And he's like, yeah, go ahead. So, yeah, it's a weird tradition.
You have an agent?
Yeah.
You're kind of a big deal.
Super big.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why Eric agreed to talk to us.
That is a big deal.
Yeah.
Do you have an agent?
I do have an agent.
Everybody does, right? Does anybody go it alone? I know that there's been a couple NFL guys that have...
It's a bigger deal in the NFL, it seems like, negotiating your own deals.
Yeah. It's... I think there's a couple guys in baseball that do that, but I wouldn't even know if... Like, I think of everything my agent does for me from... getting a pair of cleats if I need a pair of cleats to then you talk about contract stuff, which I haven't gone through, but at some point, you know, that's why they're there to negotiate arbitration, free agency, stuff like that. I'd have no idea where to start.
Yeah.
I would be the worst agent ever.
Especially for yourself.
Yeah. So
they just give you an offer. You go, sounds good. Where do I sign?
Yeah. I used to say that, my agent, when I played the NFL, he goes, I was like, I'll play this game for free. I would say that in the papers. He's like, stop saying that.
Yeah, don't say that.
That's stupid. I'm like, but it's true. But yeah, but just shut up.
The team's listening going, Wyman, we can strike that
off. For free. Yeah. Love of game.
Yeah. So, and by the way, my agent doesn't get me cleats or any of that. He does get me hundreds of dollars, though, throughout a year.
There you go.
Just money hand over fist. Hundreds upon hundreds of dollars. Hey, do you guys pay attention to the standings at this point of the season? I mean, you got 56, 55, whatever the number is, games left. Mm-hmm. That goes quick, and now you're in this neck-and-neck battle in the wild card race. Are you guys kind of looking at what the other teams around you are doing?
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I said guys don't do that. Of course, we have guys in there that are kind of seeing where we're at. I think a lot of us try not to pay too much attention to it, especially at this point because, you know, you said we have 50-something games left. It does go by quick, but at the same time, that's a lot of games. So to be consumed and caught up in where our standings are at the time, I feel like that doesn't do anybody good right off the get-go. But I feel like as we get down the stretch more, yeah, that's going to be something a lot of guys will be paying closer attention to, I'm sure. Especially as we start playing much more meaningful games, because these last 2 months are going to be some very meaningful games that we're going to be playing, and guys are going to want to know where we're at. So,
yeah. Hey, really quick, Eric, I know we got to let you go, but, how sure night in and night out are you that you're going to go? I mean, do you know, are they telling you the next day? Are you just always ready, or do you have an indication sometimes, or you're surprised at times?
I mean, for the most part, it's every night thing. You're ready to go. If you're throwing certain stretches, like I had a stretch last homestand, I threw 3 days in a row. I knew I was going to get the next day off. Just kind of right at that threshold of probably not going to throw 4 games in a row unless you're in the postseason, you're in October. So situations like that, or if you're throwing back-to-back a couple times in a row in like a 10, 12-game stretch, you know, you'll probably be told at some point you'll have a night off. It just depends, but for the most part, yeah, you're kind of sure when you're going to throw and when you're not.
Hey, we appreciate you coming up here, man. It's really cool to talk to you in person and have you up here. And remember, when you get down to the clubhouse, talk to Winker or even JP. And, you know, the Rocky theme, Mama Said Knock You Out. I think these would be great walk-up songs for tonight.
Bob's trying to start a fight. That's just for our entertainment.
Somebody is, I guess.
I think the fans would love it. They would go nuts. You know they would. But, no, we really appreciate it, man. Of course, we wish you the best.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me come up here. Sir. This is awesome.
There you go. There's Eric Swanson of your Seattle Mariners. Really cool to talk to him for a bit, get a perspective on this series and everything going on with the Mariners as they get set for game one. Coming up, is this the breakout year we've been waiting for from Will Disley? Tell you why it could be. Coming up next, it's Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports Station.
Mariners taking on the Angels tonight in the T-Mobile Park roof will most definitely be open. That's the Mariners Roof Report, covered by Acton's Quality Roofing. Hey, coming up in 15 minutes, Mean Texts. I forgot to mention that. I think most people know that that's the Friday tradition, but we get new listeners every single day, so they're not always dialed into all the different segments we've got going. So every Friday, just for those of you that may be new to the program, every Friday, final segment of the day, unless we're getting preempted by the Mariners, we do Mean Texts, where you guys take shots at us. Just be creative. That's all we ask.
Be creative. Don't throw up onto your phone. You know, when you're texting in.
Brevity's key. Paragraphs are harder to read. We need just, you know, take a shot if you want. Just be creative. If you're just gonna go, you guys stink. Yeah, we're not gonna read it. That's not creative. That's no good.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's coming up in 15 minutes. And the text number again for those of you that are new, 421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So that is coming up next. Meanwhile, Adam Jude wrote a story in the Seattle Times yesterday about a guy that you've been high on since day one. I think I think anybody that's watched it, first of all, you loved him at UW. Mm. Excited that he got here with the Seattle Seahawks, and then just seemed like the Mitch Haniger of the Seattle Seahawks, and that, man, just can this guy catch a break? You know, what is he can't get through a season? He's just had these unfortunate injuries, and we're talking about Will Disley, who since those injuries, we kept it looking at his numbers and extrapolate, well, if he didn't get hurt, I mean, look at what he did in just these four or five games. What would he have done in 16 or now 17? And then he gets healthy for the last two seasons, and for whatever reason, the offensive coordinators, whether it's Shoddy, whether it's Shane Waldron, just didn't find it completely necessary to get him or the entire tight end group involved in the offense the way we thought they would. And even the investments they made and you know, Gerald Everett and different guys they brought in from the outside, you're thinking, okay, they're gonna make the tight ends a bigger part of it, and they just haven't. But he's a guy that I think you and I both thought at the end of the season, he's a free agent. They're probably not going to bring him back because they just didn't use him much. They just didn't seem to value him the way that we did. And lo and behold, he signs a $24 million deal. And we're going, really? And then Adam Jude wrote the story where apparently that wasn't even the best deal he was offered.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I'm not sure how much more over that other teams would have gone. But, you know, that was the amount that it sounded to me. And I'll talk to Adam a little bit about it, but it sounded to me that like maybe it was 500 or a million more somewhere else. And for that amount of money, why wouldn't you just stay here? You know, I mean, you're not going to go somewhere else for 500,000 extra.
Well, let me play devil's advocate. If you're in the league and you're that player and there's, I don't know, just throw out a team. Maybe it's the Broncos. Maybe Russell wanted them there. And they said, hey, here the tight ends are a big part of what we're going to do. You are going to be, if you're healthy, you're looking at 90 to 100 targets. I'm just throwing out a number. I mean, just something that's just completely different than what he experienced here. Would that be a selling point?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it would, but I think that is something that they're going to, you know, try to make a concerted effort to get more and, you know, get the tight ends more involved. Remember, they had Gerald Everett last year.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, the other thing to consider, two of the teams, one was Denver, and, you know, Russell Wilson, that's a pretty good endorsement from him. The other one was Tampa Bay. You know, and
chance to go play with Brady.
Yeah, and Gronk's gone, and you know they really wanted him there. So, yeah, it's just I'm just looking at his stats right now. It's the more I look at it now. Look, I understand the first couple of years he played 4 games, 6 games. Those were major injuries, by the way. This wasn't some soft tissue thing. He had a patella tendon and an Achilles. Those are two of the bigger tendons that you have. Comes back, and you know he was targeted 29 times in 2020, and that's where, you know, remember Russ was chucking it all over the field.
29 times,
yeah,
and he had like 24 catches, right?
Yeah, he had, let's see, that year, he had 24 catches. But last year, even worse, 26 targets, 21 receptions.
How do you explain that?
Yeah, I don't, in 2020, Russ was going deep with it. And remember, there was a lot of check downs and short intermediate routes that he missed. And I'm not ripping on Russell because, you know, remember the Giant game? And I don't mean to just dwell on one game, but there was lots of times. Pete mentioned it in the Tennessee game that he missed some checkdowns. The most glaring one in 2020 was, and Russ was looking downfield, and they weren't covering anything short. They were covering everything deep. And Carlos Hyde was open for what would have been a 30-yard game. And, you know, Russ was just looking to go deep. So, and again, not ripping him, but you know, that's kind of what went on in 2020. And then last year, Gerald Everett, you know, I think they thought he was a bigger part of it. But
well, and they paid Greg Olsen $7 million. It's like they've made these big investments to bring in guys from the outside, too.
Yeah. Well, I just don't get it. I mean, I really, he's such a good blocker. And the things that I've seen from Will Dissly, and the reason why I put him in my top five or top 10 Seahawks every year is because, you know, I remember him just totally frustrating Chandler Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, he maxed him out in a game against Arizona. Actually, it was the one where he got hurt, where he slipped down there and I think tore his patella tendon because it was the Achilles in Cleveland. And, he was just wearing him out. And we knew he was a good blocker. But then, you know, you see him catch in 2019, he had a catch off of his helmet.
Yeah.
You know, you saw him catch and run in Denver in his very first game. I mean, the guy is, he's very athletic, and, you know, and I just think he's also a guy you really want on your team. There's not a nicer, better team guy than Will Dissly. So, yeah, I was happy to see that, like, the rest of the NFL seems to value him as well. And I'm hoping that this will be something that will also, you know, we talk about
how Austin Blythe is really a nice addition to this offensive line for a guy like Drew Lock, because he knows the offense and he can make the calls and everything like that. I think also Will Disley is going to be, you know, come up big, because you see him throwing slants and inside out at practice right now, not necessarily airing it out every once in a while. You see that, but I think the middle of the field is going to be open this year. And I think they're just going to make a concerted effort to get him the ball. They better, right? Because you're paying him $8 million.
That to me says he's got, there's some intention behind that signing. You know, it's got to be more than a blocker. You could find a lot of guys to block for less money.
Sure.
So, but then you got another new guy in Noah Fant. I don't know how much are they going to try to feature him. It feels like there's always been the sort of outside guy who's kind of come in and been the shiny new toy, if you will, and that they don't focus on the guy they've got, who seems to have incredibly soft hands. He's a great catcher of the ball when you do throw it to him. I mean, the numbers bear that out, and he's a great blocker. Yet, hey, we're going to sign Greg Olsen for $7 million. We're going to bring in Gerald Everett. Now we've got Noah Fant, who I know was part of the trade, so it's a little different. He wasn't the sole focus, but he was part of it. I imagine they requested that the Broncos didn't just say, all right, we'll give you just this guy, this guy, and this guy. I'm sure there was negotiation there. So you bring in another outside tight end. I'm just wondering, is this going to be another situation where they're going to try to really focus on him, especially if Drew Lock happens to get the start? Maybe there's that familiarity with those two. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so based on the way they paid him.
Yeah.
So, and I think, you know, look, Pete and the coaching staff, they're all part of, like, how important is Will Disley? So, but, I mean, you look at his catch percentage, it's like Russell Wilson numbers. You know, it's like 80%.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you throw it to him, he catches it. But also the fact that he's such a threat as a blocker.
All right, coming up, you still have a few minutes. Mean text, so get creative. You can text them in, 421-3776, powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. It's coming your way next with Wyman and Bob. We continue live from T-Mobile Park. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
It is that time. Every Friday, we close out the show with mean text, just counting on your creativity. You can always text in throughout the week. We try to collect them throughout the week, and obviously the bulk come in on Fridays. 421-3776. Powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company, as we just wave at strangers who are waving at us here.
I feel creepy with these the binoculars.
Did you see who they were? Did we know them?
No.
There was a guy and a girl just waving at us frantically, like, hey, it's us. And
yeah.
They're probably waving. You got headphone gunk all over your face.
I know. I think Eric Swanson, when he left, was looking at me like, what is that?
It's a mole. Don't make me self-conscious.
We got this plastic or this rubber stuff that's coming off. We got our girls, Karen and Nancy, waving to us out in at Edgar's. All the usual suspects out there. But we got our binoculars here. It's a beautiful day. Earlier, the Blue Angels were flying. This is great. Great time to come out to T-Mobile Park and take in a baseball game.
What do we got today?
We got a lot. We got some good ones. 360. Every Wyman story begins with, did I ever tell you about insert thing that he's told you about here?
There was another one that said same quote, like, I remember when, and he was like, come on, Dave, you don't remember.
That was it. Yeah, verbatim. Another 360
remember.
There.
So I could remember that, and I didn't even read it. So there. Take that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great excuse I have. Get hit in the head too much.
Yeah.
It's just, can't remember a name. Got hit in the head too much.
Every story is new.
Yeah.
It's never been told. 425 says, am I the only one that feels like Lefko gives off a Quagmire from Family Guy vibe?
Got another one that said that, too. Yeah.
Same guy.
All
Quagmire.
Right. He's the pervert.
Yeah.
He's the one that says, all right.
Lefko sounds like a real-life Quagmire from Family Guy.
He's a giggity-giggity guy?
Yeah.
You don't watch Family Guy?
No.
Oh, he's... you're missing out.
Is that the guy that has a chin that looks like a huge butt?
Is
a cartoon character?
No.
Yeah, he's very skinny. He's the pilot.
Oh.
He's one of Peter Griffin's main
Joe, maybe. Or Peter Griffin.
Yeah. They both have thinking of somebody else.
Well, Joe's in the wheelchair in that show.
Anyway. He doesn't know. Quagmire, Dave.
It's not going to help if we keep giving you descriptions of the show you don't watch.
Keep going, and maybe I'll get it.
Radio, he's got dark hair, wears a lot of loud shirts.
Yeah, what else you got?
Yeah. 206. Now I'm reading this verbatim. 206 says, Wyman and Bob walk into a bar. Ouch, that hurt. Lefko.
I don't get it, but the Lefko part is funny.
No, they walk into a bar. It's me making a pun, I guess, is what they're saying.
Lefko. Yeah.
509 says, if I had to listen to this show for film like Kyler Murray does for game film, I wouldn't sign the contract.
Extra work listening to our show. You know, I think maybe the funniest thing that's happened today was that I think we discovered that Adam Ray kind of does have Mike Trout down a little bit.
I don't really hear it, but you do.
Maybe it's because
he kind of morphs into an accent at times with that voice. He's like,
I don't know, man. We're going here.
There's something kind of there with that. I don't know what it is, man.
His Lefko is spot on.
His Lefko is very good. It's very good.
What else we got, Lefko?
Yeah, we got some good ones here. Still coming in.
You were cracking up earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll get to one of those that made me laugh pretty hard. 509. Does Dave use the same razor on his face that he uses on his legs?
I don't shave my legs.
That's the joke, I guess.
Somebody said something about how white they are. Can they see that on the video screen?
They can see your face in the video screen.
When we turn around, Adam's been staring at your back for 2 hours.
Were you standing up and showing off your legs? And they could.
I remember I shaved my leg for a while there because of the
tape,
knee.
Right?
Yeah, you had to put the tape on and everything like that. Shave the ankles.
Yeah. Okay. Bob, there's one that... Well, we'll see. I know you didn't think this was as funny. Maybe the other people will. 425. Bob, you kiss Adam Ray's butt so hard, even your laugh is brown.
Your laugh is what?
Brown.
Brown?
Oh.
No?
How could a laugh be brown? That's very... Like Aaron Rodgers-like.
Here's somebody talking about your legs. It says, someone give Bob sunglasses. Dave's legs are so white, the glare must be unbearable.
It must look really bad on the stream here.
I don't know when they would have seen him. All right.
Oh, maybe they're looking at him right now. I really don't give a crap whether my legs are tan or not.
660. The two of you are hard to listen to. I'd rather listen to 3 hours of Aaron Rodgers and Blue of Earth.
Which Blue of Earth.
Is his girlfriend's name. Blue of Earth.
Nice call. That's
B-L-U. That's it, not B-L-U-E.
B-L-U. B-L-U.
That's her name? Blue of Earth.
Mrs.
of Earth? Yeah. I have a question.
Who was that? Was that a 206?
660.
660. That was a good one right there. Yeah. Hold the name, too.
Yeah, the Blue of Earth. 724. All it says is Thumbledore, Wizard of Pickleball.
Thumbledore, Wizard of Pickleball.
Yeah.
Did you read? Anybody read any of the Harry Potter books?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Did you, Mike?
Yeah, I was a child once.
Wait, how old are you?
33.
Did you read them yourself, or did your dad read them to you?
No, they came out when I was like a teenager.
I read them to my kids. Okay. I read like the first four. Yeah. Actually, they were all to Jake because Kendall was like had other things to do after the second one.
She wasn't impressed. Yeah.
Distraction, a little distracted.
360 says, Wyman can't wait to throw in that he used to play pro ball during other athlete interviews just to make sure they don't say, how the hell did you ever get a job in radio?
That's pretty good. That's not bad right there.
Yeah, that was good.
Well, I remember Robert Turbin, for a little while, he didn't know, and I was like, you thought I was a professional broadcaster?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good.
There's a couple more about me. Okay, we'll go to another one. 509. Bob's the guy who takes his girlfriend to a fight and excitedly tells her they're going to have some chicken tendies.
Ew. Oh. Ugh. Not good. Not good.
I don't know. I don't know if there's one that'll beat that. We'll probably have to end on that one.
That was
30 seconds left. Better end on that one.
You want to end on that one?
Yeah, that was good.
All right. Good job by you guys. We do that every Friday. You can send them in throughout the week. Again, 421-3776. Powered by Mac and Jack's Brewing Company. So that'll do it for us. I want to thank our guests today, Adam Frazier, Quentin Jefferson, Adam Ray, and Eric Swanson. Great stuff from all of them. It's available on the podcast page after the show, seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab. Click on our picture. It's right there. Subscribe. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're back on Monday with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports Station on 710.